Good morning. It's really good to be with you. I wasn't in the early service, but here I am in the second service. And it's always wonderful to greet God's people. And yes, we've been in three different countries that all start with the letter C. I don't know what that's about, but the Lord does. 25 years in Chile, 5 years in Costa Rica, and now the last 5 years in Cuba. And we feel like the Lord saved the very best for last. Our last lap in missions, and the Lord gave us, it was like the cherry on top. That's how we feel. We feel absolutely privileged to have had the privilege and get the privilege and honor to minister in this incredible country where the Spirit has no limits. There are so many limits on their lives, but the Spirit releases them and frees them. And I'm so thankful for this honor. I'm so grateful to God for the way He has led us all along. And just real quickly, I want to share one little testimony that literally, honestly, we have learned so much from every country where we've been, from the national churches and the Chileans, the Costa Ricans, and now the Cubans. But I can tell you, I've learned so much more in the 5 years we've been in Cuba about God than I ever knew before. And this is one little testimony I'll tell you about what I learned. We had been there a couple of years, and I was talking to the general superintendent's wife. Well, we were all in the car together, and I was talking to all of us, but I was telling her about how God had been so good and so faithful to our son. Our son, Jonathan, we had to do about three or four interventions in his life, and he was 25 years old and still going nowhere. And God got a hold of him at Teen Challenge, and now he's a firefighter, and he's doing very well. Praise God. I give God the glory. So I'm giving this testimony. Yeah, praise God for that. God loves our children. God cares about what we care about. And so I'm talking to Bobby and Ellie Sale, but Ellie Sale's driving, so she's in the front seat. And I said these words, God has been so faithful. And she reared her head back, and she was laughing. She laughs. I love her laugh. And I went, Bobby, what's funny? What did I say? And she said, oh, Jackie, God has not been faithful. God is faithful. You don't use the past tense with God. God is. And I got to thinking, you know, when Moses said, who am I supposed to say to these people that who sent me? God didn't say, tell them I'm God or tell them I'm this or that. God said, tell them I am. Why is that? Because God is whatever you need. God is whatever I need. God is faithful. God is holy. God is righteous. God is salvation. God is provision. Not has been, not will be. God is. God is. I learned that from the Cuban. Let me tell you. Has been has never left my lips when it has to do with God since that moment. I learned a reality that we don't say what He's been. We say who He is. Praise God. I pray God's blessing upon your life, and I pray God's faithfulness that he will continue to be as He is faithful, not only through this year, but in 2021, that, oh my goodness, let's get ready for what God is about to do, right? God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jackie. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Good to be back home in very many ways. You all are such a part of what we have done through the years. You've been supporting us now almost 40 years. I just did a quick calculation. Probably you've invested in our ministry between monthly support and projects. $125,000 to $150,000 you've invested just in us. That's just one couple. But you invested well beyond that with your trips and your time and your prayers. We just appreciate this church and what it means to our ministry and what God has called us to do. And it's great to be with Dave and Kay, Pastor Dave and Pastor Kay. You know, we met 50 years ago. We've known each other 50 years. We met 50 years ago this fall. Dave lived across the hall from us in One West, and in a building that I believe still exists. And you just do not know what God's up to when you cross paths with someone, you have no idea, what that's about. And friendships that the Lord has given us out of this church that have lasted through the years. Our kids are doing great. Sarah and her husband are pastoring a church just north of Tampa, and God's blessing them there. Jackie already shared about Jonathan. It's great to have Jim and Rachel here with us, Jackie's brother and sister-in-law. And Ethan, I don't know where he's at, but he's around here. So there he is, back in the bright orange hat in the back with a mask on. It's great to have him. And we just praise the Lord for us, for a day like today, for us that's being with people that we know, that know us, and that we love and appreciate so, so dearly. Well, I want to just mention a couple of things. On the table back, out back, there's, out back, out in the foyer, out back on the table, out back, yeah, there are prayer cards for you. If you would take one of these and use it. It's the smallest tool we have in our toolbox and the most important by far. So if you take one of these and pray for us. Somebody asked me how much I paid Jackie to look at me like that in that picture. Totally free. She just did it out of the goodness of her heart. So good stuff. And then we have a couple of magazines for you, and feel free to take one. The light blue cover is the story of Cuba's background information on Cuba from the general superintendent who was there. It's the worldview. And then this is a more recent issue from last fall, and it tells the story of what Jackie and I, they did an interview with us and a story on that. So if you want more detailed information on exactly what we're involved in Cuba, that will tell that story. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And while you're doing that, I want to just share with you a couple of, for those of you who may not know us, you may say this is the first time I've ever met Don and Jackie. We, during the last 39 years in Chile, in Costa Rica, and Cuba, have had had a part in training over 1,000 workers who are working in over 30 countries of the world. And that's important because you've had a part in that. Not just that we did that. That's part of your heritage as a church. And it's a huge part of your heritage as a church. That the impact of this church doesn't just reach this region. It reaches literally around the world, and we are so grateful for that. For the last 5 years, we've been working in Cuba, and our objective going to Cuba was to start a missions sending organization. And when we met with the Cubans the very first time, and God began to deal with them about this and with us about this, we were sitting with the executive presbytery, and the general superintendent said, "Now, please understand, we've never sent or started a missions organization before in our lives." And Jackie and I both responded, "Well, neither have we, so this should be a great trip together." But one of the guys responded, it was very interesting. He said, "Well, then this will be uniquely Cuban. You're not bringing something in from out, and we're not bringing something to the table. None of us know anything about what we're doing, so the Holy Spirit will have to guide us and direct us." And the Lord has enabled us to train over 300 workers, out of whom they have selected their current missionaries that are itinerating. They have 5 couples that are itinerating now, and another round in the docket, and the others who are still there working, local church training, raising up prayer warriors, support, all kinds of things. Incredible how God does what he does when he desires to do it. It's just fascinating to get on board with what God's about. And so that's basically where we're at and what we're doing now. We're based in Florida because we can't live in Cuba. U.S. citizens can't live in Cuba, so we live as close to the airport in Tampa as possible, and we fly in and out of there into Havana. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about wind watchers and cloud counters. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, I'm reading from the New King James, Solomon says this, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you don't know what is the way of the wind," I love that. That's a great turn of a phrase, isn't it? The way of the wind. "Or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you don't know the works of God who makes absolutely everything. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, don't withhold your hand. For you don't know which of those will prosper. Either this," that of the morning, "or that of the afternoon, or whether both alike will be good, will bring a harvest." I love the way the New Living Translation says it. "Farmers who wait for perfect weather, never plant. If you're waiting for perfect circumstances to do something, you will never do anything. If you're waiting for optimum conditions for something to happen, nothing will ever happen. So what do? We work in the morning, we work in the evening, and we put the results in the hands of God. John chapter 4, verse 35 says this, "Don't you say there are yet 4 months, and then harvest comes? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are already white for harvest." Jesus is explaining, I grew up in Northwest Ohio, which is farm country, just like this, farm country. And I always knew, even growing up, that if those farmers planted in April or May, come August or September, there was going to be a harvest, right? And Jesus is saying to the disciples here, this is what you say. Plant now, and in 4 months, harvest will come. But I say to you, lift up your eyes now, look on the fields now, for they are white already now to harvest. That the harvest of the kingdom is not something that's happening somewhere out there. The harvest for Radiant Life Church is not something that's somewhere out there. It's something that's here and now. It's something that God's already up to. I want to talk about the compulsion of the harvest. I love how Barney Fife on Andy Griffith does this. He says he calls it a compulsion. I guess he's conjugating consistently from the word compel to the noun compulsion, but he says, this morning we're not talking about a compulsion. We're talking about a compulsion. What are we compelled to do? What are we thrust to do? And I like, there's a word in the Greek when it says, "Pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." That "send forth" in Greek is ekbalo. It means to throw, to thrust. It's not a passive response. Pray that the Lord will thrust workers, that he will throw workers into the harvest, an ekbalo sending. And that's what God is up to today. A compulsion is an irresistible impulse to act. It's something that you cannot not do. Bad English, good Spanish. Double negative doesn't work in English, but it sure works in Spanish. This is something that we cannot not do. God has called us to go into the harvest. I want to tell you the story of a lady some of you already know. Can we have that first photo? This is Leticia from the Bible school up in northern Chile, who worked with us there in Antofagasta. A number of you know her. How many of you have been on a trip with us? Okay, there's a few. Okay, a number of you have been on a trip with us. She worked with us for a good long while in Antofagasta, but it didn't start there. We met her first off in Santiago at the Bible school where we were working our very first term as missionaries. And there are times when we say things to someone else that for us is a throwaway comment. We're just making conversation. You know, I remember when I first moved to Tennessee, somebody said, "Stop on by my house anytime, we'll, you know, whenever you're in the area." And I did that and didn't realize that what that meant was, "We'll see you next week, Pastor." You know, so there are things that she was not speaking literally. But there are times when we say something to someone and God is speaking literally through us to someone else. And so on her graduation, she had moved from northern Chile to Santiago. Northern Chile, no rain, no cold. She moves to a place where it rains, snows sometimes, and she's got to learn to wear a coat and use an umbrella and wear boots. And on her graduation day, she graduated about the same time we were getting ready to leave and come home for our itineration for a year in the States, knowing that we were going to go back at the end of that year to northern Chile, where she was from. And I said, "Hey, you need to consider coming to work with us in the Bible school." Throwaway comment, you know, to a graduate from, We get back at the end of the year to Antofagasta, and guess who's waiting for us at the Bible school? Leticia. And we had the privilege to work together with her for 8 years. A great teacher, a great preacher. Wow, a powerful woman of God. Didn't know that until we got her up there, and she just absolutely brought it every single day. Fast forward a little bit. We're ready to leave Chile at the end of 25 years. We're now living back in Santiago, and they invite us back up north for a farewell tour. And who do we run into when we're up there? Leticia. And as a way of saying goodbye, we knew we were going then to the school in Costa Rica to work at the language school there. And I say to her, you need to come and study English with us. And we leave. And I'm thinking, yeah, we'll never see them again, you know, whatever. And so we go home, we itinerate, we get to the school in Costa Rica. And about 2 months after we get there, I get an email from guess who? Leticia. She says, I've raised all the money for my airfare. I have all the money I need for my housing and my meals, but I don't have any money for the studies. And I write her back and say, well, then you need to come and join us, and we'll teach you English, and you can teach all of our American missionaries coming from the U.S. to Latin America, you can teach them how to preach in Spanish. And that's exactly what she did. But while she was at that language school, the Lord was beginning to deal with her about going to India. And she's just wrestling with it. On the Tuesday before she graduated, on a Friday, she had been praying, Lord, if it's your will for me to go to India, have someone give me a sari, the garment that the Indian ladies wear. Well, what are the odds of that in Costa Rica, someone just walking up and giving her a sari? On the Tuesday before she graduated, there's a knock on the classroom door where she's studying. And the person in the hallway asked the teacher, can I talk to Leticia for a minute? And Leticia goes out into the hallway. And waiting for her is the general superintendent's wife of the Assemblies of God of Costa Rica. And she says, Leticia, I just got back from a trip to, anybody want to fill in that blank? India, where I bought a sari. And every time I put it on, I just don't feel comfortable wearing this. And the Lord's been speaking to me, and I feel like I'm supposed to give this to you. And she takes that sari, and she just embraces it and begins to weep, as she knows the Lord is sending her to India. This is her with one of the girls that she worked with in India during her first term. She has finished 2 terms of missionary service in India, never bothering once to watch the wind or count the clouds, simply saying, Lord, whatever you're up to, I want to be a part of that. Wow, what a challenge for our lives to meet someone who so diligently desires to follow the leading of the Spirit. Some people live their lives based on the Weather Channel. I happen to live in the same home with someone who every morning gets up, turns her cell phone on, and checks the weather app. Because we can't know how to dress unless we know what the weather is, right? And if it's going to change during the day, we might need a different pair of shoes at midday than we'll need later in the day. And, man, we got it all set up. Live by the Weather Channel. I mean, we first moved to Florida, and the first hurricane came, you know, like a week before. There's a hurricane coming. You know, we get down to 5 days out. It's almost here. You know, 3 days out. It's on the coast. And then, man, when it finally came, it was just like, oh, man, I can't even believe this. I'm thinking, just give me a good old earthquake any day. You know, no warning, minute and a half, over and clean up. This stuff's driving me crazy. The Weather Channel drives everything these kinds of people do. There are other people who live their lives based on the Business Channel. They're watching the stock market. They're watching the financials. They're watching the interest rates. And every decision they make hinges on the information they get from the Business Channel. And then there are those of us who, like myself, love the History Channel. Anybody else out there like the History Channel? Man. So that we will determine what we'll do in the future based on what's taken place in the past. So all these sources of information are driving, we become literally wind watchers and cloud counters. And I want to talk about those two things for just a few minutes and then wrap with one other thought. How many of you ever licked your index finger and held it up to see which way the wind was blowing? How many of you ever raise your hand really high if you've ever done that. Now look around, keep your hands up. Look around you, because these are the really smart people in the room. That's a great way to figure out which way the wind is blowing in the natural, but spiritually, that's really high risk. And there's a reason for that. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from nor where it is going.
So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How many of you have been born of the Spirit this morning? Raise your hand if you've been born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But if you have been born, B-O-R-N, of the Spirit, I can promise you, you will be born, B-O-R-N-E, by the Spirit. We cannot be born of the Spirit without the Spirit carrying us along according to God's plans and designs. We never know which of our labors will bring a good result. How many of you ever get weary in well-doing? Anybody ever get weary in well-doing? There are seasons of our lives where we just do the same thing over and over and over, day after day after day. And we get weary in well-doing. But what Solomon's saying in this passage is that we need to stay at the task because we don't know which of our labors will bring the harvest. We don't know which of our efforts will bring the result. We must stay faithful in the task all the time. A good friend of mine, Ray Talley, who used to be the area director for Northern South America, always used to say, ministry is what happens along the way. We're looking for a pulpit. We're looking for a megaphone. Man, was that cello was fabulous today, by the way. And the musicians did a terrific job. I always dreamed of being a musician or a singer, and Jackie just said the world couldn't have handled that. You know, it just would have been too much. But I look at those things and I think, man, that's what I would have wanted. If I could have chosen. See, sometimes we don't get to pick. God picks us because he knows best. He is wisest. He knows where, when, and how. We will do and accomplish what he desires for us to do and accomplish in his eternal design and purpose. The other group that he talks about here are cloud counters. During the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, people watched the clouds for years on end, but the rain never came. Parentheses, good book recommendation here. The worst hard time, when you think you've got it the worst it can possibly be, you need to read The Worst Hard Time by Timothy Egan. It's a story of the Dust Bowl. And you'll thank God every day for this great Ohio weather that you get to live in every year. They watched those clouds. They would fill up. They would get dark. And they were dead certain rain was on the way. And when it finally came, it was just more dust and more dirt. They counted those clouds, and nothing ever came of it. When I was a little boy in Waterville, I used to stand on our front porch, and our front porch looked south. So I always knew that if I looked west toward Indiana, when the sky got darker and things got still, that a tornado was on the way. And as a kid, I just always dreamed that someday, some way, somehow, I would get to see a tornado come down our street, North Melody Lane, Waterville, Ohio. Man, I didn't want to see it on television. I didn't want to read about it in a book. I wanted to see it up close and personal. Fortunately, when things got deteriorated enough, my mom would come out on that porch, grab me by the nape of the neck, and haul me into the basement. Until the next one came along, and I'm out there just checking it out. Man, watching those clouds. You see, you can figure out what kind of clouds do what things. And know, you think you know what's coming. We can learn all about all those different kinds of clouds. And we can respond accordingly. But God's kingdom does not operate according to those principles. He who watches the wind and counts the clouds will never reap. The farmer who always does that will never find a perfect time to sow. You see, I believe God is getting ready to launch us. And we have to be ready to adjust our sails to catch that wind, to know where he wants us to go. The third thing he talks about in this passage are the works of God. I've heard it said that Latin America has already been reached, so we need to send missionaries to other places. The real truth of it is, I wear this wristband every day. It says the other five. The truth is, in Latin America today, after 40 years of our working there, and who knows how many years prior to that, 5 out of 6 people still do not know Jesus in Latin America. So every morning when I wake up and I get ready to work, I put this on, and it says, hashtag the other five. I know that what's driving me, that's what's motivating me. I do everything I do for the other five. We're trying to reach the other five. You see, we can figure it out and say, these are the best places to send. These are the best places to go. This is most strategic. And that's all fine. That's all well and good. But the Great Commission doesn't make that distinction. It simply says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The harvest field is the whole world, everywhere, all the time. There's no such thing as hard places or easy places. There is no such thing on the face of the planet as an impossible place. There are only right places, the places where the wind of the Spirit blows on our life and sends us to where God desires and designs for us to be and to labor. The right places, the places where the wind of the Spirit takes us to reach those who have yet to hear the gospel. Wind watchers and cloud counters look to where and when it seems most logical to sow. Now, to not watch the wind or count the clouds is not an excuse for irresponsibility. This passage is not talking about being irresponsible. What Solomon is talking about here is an attitude of constant readiness. Don't be waiting on something to happen. Be ready now for something to happen. Harvest is not out there somewhere. Harvest is right here, right now. We never know how long a door may be open or when it may close in a moment's time. That's why we must always be working in an everywhere, all the time mode. That's why we must be bold and take the initiative. I'll close with this story. If we can have the next photo. This couple, I won't even mention their names for their safety's sake, are a couple of Cubans from the western end of the island. Very successful pastors, leaders, workers, and evangelists. And in one of the very first missions conventions we did in Cuba in 2014, God began to deal with their heart. And they came through all the training. And at the end of that, they said, you know what? We feel God's calling us to leave our leadership position, leave our church, and go to the island of Haiti. Now, the unique thing about this couple is they are the very first couple from Cuba to ever go and serve as global workers fully funded by the Cuban church. Now, we've been told for the last 5 years, what you are trying to do in Cuba is impossible. Cubans cannot send their own missionaries. They do not have the financial resources to do it. You can't send missionaries when you only make $20 a month. And Jackie and I respond as we hold up that Cuban peso in our hands is not even worth 4 cents. God is going to take the Cuban peso and make it a blessing to the nations. And we hear our Cuban brothers echo back, the Cuban peso will be a blessing to the nations. As Jackie says, it might not be on the big board on Wall Street, but it's sure on the big board in heaven, where God decides and determines and designs how he will reach the nations with the gospel. They could have said, you know what? We've watched the wind and counted the clouds. We're too old. This is too hard. We leave behind too much. They simply left their ministry, their family, their security to step into Haiti smack dab in the middle of COVID, where they have bonded, learned the language, the culture of another entirely different place in order to take the gospel to those who've never heard it. Can we have the next photo? This is the group of people that have come together with them during COVID. They've been isolated to a 10-square block area of the city of Port-au-Prince. Can't leave, can't get out. You know, there are tons of reasons to say, man, God, haven't you seen the clouds? Haven't you sensed the winds? This is not optimum time to plant a church. And instead, they just simply say, this is where God. They were offered a ticket, full expense, to go back home to Cuba and stay in a safe place during COVID with their family. And their response was, sorry, this is where we are. This is where we'll stay. And in that last photo, please. and this is their baptismal service, I think a month or so ago, in the middle of COVID, God is using them to touch people who have never heard the gospel before. You can count the clouds, calculate the odds, watch the interest rates, but God's kingdom does not work like that because he works when and where he wishes. He gives no thought or concern to the whims or logic of men and women like you and I. God prepares places. He has prepared places all over the world for sowing and reaping. Our task is to simply always be doing those two things. Over the last 5 years, we've watched God continue to call and send missionaries to Latin America in spite of what the common wisdom says to us. And he's raising them up. God sends people everywhere all the time because that's where the harvest is. God has done some great things. Pastor Dave, at the end of the last service, the Lord just seemed to drop this into my heart and as a compliment to what you had said. This church has done some amazing things in missions throughout its history. But God is not finished with this church yet. Past is always prologue. Past is always prelude. Who knows but that this could become a modern-day Antioch, where God sends forth people who totally shake the nations for the advancement of his kingdom. God is still working here. He's not done. It's not a pause. It's not a phase. God is still working in this place to carry out the vision that he gave this couple when they were youngsters right out of college. Where is the wind of the Spirit blowing in your life today, personally? You may feel like a ship in port with the sails down. But ships weren't meant to be in port. And those sails weren't meant to be left down. And God's speaking to you today, and he's saying, get those sails up. Get them ready because the wind is about to blow on your life in a way you never imagined or dreamed or thought possible. Ministry-wise, how's the wind blowing in you? Relationally, set your sails to catch the wind, and God will take you places you never dreamed of and accomplish through you things you never imagined or thought possible. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you for this time together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that the wind of your Spirit would blow, and that we would respond in a way that brings honor and glory to you. We need you, Lord. This is not about us. This is about you and what you desire to do through us. And we ask it in your name.
Don talked about being born of the Spirit. What that means is you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never given your life to Jesus, first thing you need to do this morning is be born of the Spirit. It's let God come into your life and change you, forgive you of your sin, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things begin to pass away. New things begin to come. Born of the Spirit. But Don said there's also that where we are born, B-O-R-N-E. We are carried. We are taken. We are led by the Spirit. And in a day when this is not the best time to ask people to become missionaries. But you know what? We're not watching the wind. We're not counting the clouds. Because I believe that this morning, the Lord is actually speaking to people about becoming missionaries. I believe that there are young people in this room that God is speaking to your heart. And one day, you'll go to an Antofagasta. You'll go to a Costa Rica. You'll go to a Cuba. No matter your age, you would say, I am a person, I want to be born of the Spirit. I want to be carried of the Spirit. Maybe it's tomorrow in your workplace, but you're saying, I'm willing to let the Spirit of the Lord lead me, carry me, guide me, so that one day, as Pastor Chris talks about, one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord's been talking to you. about your willingness to be born of the Spirit, carried along, motivated, led, guided, directed by the Spirit, and you'd say, Lord, I'm willing. Or maybe you're not even to that point yet, but you're willing to pray about being led by the Spirit. I want you to come and stand across the front here. You don't need to be near anybody, but I want to challenge you. Come and stand someplace. Make a step and say, I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to go to a place that is not comfortable for me. Step out. And this isn't just about missions overseas. This is about missions across the street. You're willing to let the Lord lead you into some new aspect, some new adventure, to lead you to a Haiti. As you stand all across the front, just begin to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as you desire. Lead me where you want to lead me. Take me where you want to take me. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, I thank you for these that are sensing your Spirit speak to them. Father God, I pray that right now you'll speak to them in very specific ways. You'll lead them. You'll direct them to situations. You'll guide them into certain avenues. You'll give them dreams and visions of areas where you want them to move and begin to minister. Oh God. Young people, I challenge you this morning. You'll never have a more exciting life than if you commit your life to the Lord Jesus and let him lead you, let him guide you, let him take you. He will take you places and into the most unbelievable situations, and you'll come away saying, wow, I'm glad I gave my future and my life to God. Those in the older generation, I want to challenge you this morning. The only time you get to retire is when they put you in a box. That's what it means to be retired. They lift the lid on your casket, they put you in it, and they shut it. That's when you get to retire. Otherwise, all we do is redirect, we retread, we renew, we keep going. When Kay and I handed the church off to Pastor Chris, that didn't slow us down. That just cranked the speed up. And we're going faster and we're going more places. You know, the past 2 weeks we've been in Cleveland and Youngstown and Toledo and Akron and all kinds of places. Where is the Lord want to blow you? And so those of you that are older, you're not done. You're not done. Come on, everybody in the room, whether you're at your seat or at the front, just lift your heart and lift your life to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. Blow on my life. Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? What ministry do you want me to start? Hallelujah. Here's a crazy one. We've got Revive Church down on the hilltop. We just got them a new building and all that's going along with that. You know what the Lord's been talking to me about the last week? Just going down there and knocking on doors and saying, hey, we've got a church over here. If you ever need a church, we're there. What can I pray with you about? Well, do I have time to do that? Well, if the Holy Spirit's blowing it into my heart, I better make time. What's he blowing into your heart? What's he blowing into your heart? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Jackie, for being here. Thank you for being a part of our lives over the last 38 years. Would you give them a hand? God bless you guys. Thank you for being our representatives. Thank you for being there when we couldn't be there. We're going to receive an offering for them and for their ministry, and there'll be a chair at each of the back doors, and you can drop an offering in there. If you want to give online, radiant.family/give, and there's a guest speaker part there that you can give to their ministry on that, and let's bless them. Do you feel good? Do you feel good? I'll tell you what. I wish I was 20 again. I wish I was 20 again. Okay, would you be willing? No, don't answer that in front of these people. She'd pray about it. There you go. I'd do it again. I'd do it again. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus today. His presence that you feel. Love all of you. God bless you. Have a great day.